Welcome to the Living a Naturally Healthy Life podcast with Delaine ND, the podcast for people looking to correct chronic illnesses such as diabetes through lifestyle change. I'm Dr. Delaine Vaughn. As a physician, I see many patients who are ill because of lifestyle decisions such as food choices. Typically, diseases such as diabetes are managed with pills or injections. This approach creates a vicious, expensive, and unhealthy cycle of medication and then more medication to address the negative side effects. As a physician and a life coach, I work with clients to resolve their diseases, get off their medications, and live a naturally healthy life. If you don't like the healthcare system in America, I recommend you use less of it by being naturally healthy. So if you feel there has to be a better, more natural way to live a healthy life, you are in the right place.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. You are listening to the Living a Naturally Healthy Life with Delaine MD podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Delaine Vaughn. And if this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome. I am a board-certified family practitioner as well as a certified life and weight coach. I help type 2 diabetics reverse their type 2 diabetes naturally, come off their meds, and start living a naturally healthy life. That's really what my passion is about. So if you find yourself being borderline diabetic or pre-diabetic or even a type 2 diabetic, this is the podcast for you to help yourself figure out the way to turn this around and start living a naturally healthy life. So it is in the time of COVID. I know that I've talked about this before, how I feel like, I don't know if you've ever heard of the book or watched the movie Love in the Time of Cholera, but every time I think about COVID and the way that COVID's really changed our life, I'm always thinking, oh, in the time of COVID, So I hope everybody's being safe. Certainly, again, everybody's hunkered down at home, my family included. So there's kids running around my house right now. So if you hear a kid screaming, please trust me. It's just that they're playing. They just play really loud. But I hope everybody else is really practicing all the safety recommendations, social distancing, staying in, wearing a mask when you go outside. But recognizing also that the stressors of living like this is not something you're experiencing alone. Many of my clients are coming to me stressed. We're all having our brains offer us these easy feel-good things. We can't go out and be with friends anymore. We can't even go out and shop anymore. And our brain really likes those feel-good experiences. And unfortunately, food is the one thing that's really available to us right now. And our brain really, really wants to offer that to us to help us feel better. So if you're experiencing that, you know, your brain's constantly offering you food and that you're struggling with cravings or you want to eat or that's all there seems to be to do, recognize you're not the only one and everybody, you know, is finding their way through this. I do want to point out, though, if you don't want to come out of the COVID-19 crisis with an extra 19 pounds on your body or with an A1C that's climbing, you really want to take a hold of this time where it's kind of less going on. There's not as much pulling at us. We're not, you know, having to leave and go to parties or get-togethers or gatherings or church functions or kids, you know, soccer games or band concerts. None of that's going on right now. So we're able to really have a lot more time to put into living our naturally healthy life and figuring out how to do that. So as much as our brain wants to tell us we can't possibly deal with all this that's going on, we can't possibly handle one more thing on our plate, recognize that there's really no better time than right now. And this is the case all the time, right? Because even if this wasn't going on, even if we weren't on COVID quarantine, people find a reason to not live that naturally healthy life, to not make the changes they know they want to make to live that life, right? It's, oh, it's graduation season. There's too many parties. Oh, it's wedding season and I don't want to miss all the wedding cake. Oh, I can't. The kids are going back to school. Oh, I can't. It's the holidays. We always find some reason not to do what it is we need to do, not to start making those lifestyle changes so that we can live that naturally healthy life. I want to tell you guys right now, there is no better time. This is the best time. This is the moment. So definitely take advantage of this. Start looking at the ways that you can start living that naturally healthy life. So let's talk about ketogenic diets. That is really what I wanted to get into today, was ketogenic diets and their long-term safety. If you've listened to this podcast for any amount of time, you know that there are three different strategies that I use to help my clients reverse their type 2 diabetes. One is cleaning up their diet, eating foods that are natural to the human being. The second strategy I use is intermittent fasting. And then the third strategy I use is nutritional ketosis. Some of my clients use all three of these strategies, and some of them only use two of them. But today I want to talk about that nutritional ketosis part, because many times as I'm working with clients, when they're new with me, they start expressing worries and concerns they have about nutritional ketosis. They hear that it's bad for the human being, that it's not safe, that there's some bad side effects. So today I want to look at what the literature says about the negative effects of being in nutritional ketosis for a long period of time. So let's talk about the things. When I ask my clients, I'm always like, well, what did you hear? What do you think is bad about nutritional ketosis? Frequently, the things I hear about are kidney function, that it's bad for your kidneys, that it's bad for your cholesterol, or that it causes obesity because it's a high-fat diet and they correlate high fat with obesity. So I'm going to address those three things. Certainly, if you have heard about anything that I'm not addressing here and you want to hear my 10 cents on it, please send that to me. You can always send me a message to Delaine at DelaneMD.com. Send me what that concern is, because I really would like to have the opportunity to research it and address it here on the podcast for you. So kidney function, everybody worries that somehow being in nutritional ketosis is going to damage their kidneys. I'm not really sure what the correlation. I think what the correlation is that when people are in diabetic ketoacidosis, so DKA, we see severe dehydration, which typically does cause an acute strain on the kidneys. So maybe that's what they're talking about. Outside of that, I'm not really sure why there is this concern, but certainly good hydration while you're in nutritional ketosis is very important. What the studies actually show is when we look at 1 or 2 years out and look at kidney function. So people who have been on nutritional ketosis diets for 1 to 2 years and look at what their kidney functions have done over that time, what we see is actual improved kidney function. We see their creatinine readings drop. We see their GFR, their glomerular filtration rate, improve or increase. And so in general, we see improvement of kidney function. This could be due to a couple different reasons. One, it could be due to coming off the medications that treat your diabetes that are typically pretty hard on your kidneys. In addition to that, you have improved blood sugars. And we know that bad blood sugars, elevated blood sugars, will have a damaging effect on the kidneys. And we also see weight loss with nutritional ketosis, which causes an improvement in blood pressure. And of course, blood pressure when it's too high and uncontrolled are also damaging to the kidneys. All of these things are seen with ketogenic diets. So that may be what we're seeing. There is this evidence that having ketone bodies in your system are just overall healing to your system. So maybe there's some effect of that. I'm not necessarily 100% sure on what causes the improvement, but when we look at the actual outcome of kidney function and compare it to long-term ketosis or nutritional ketosis, we actually see an improvement in kidney function over the long-term period of being in ketosis. So that's the kidney function. Cholesterol is the other big concern, like I said, that I hear. The big concerns that I hear about is there's going to be worsening bad cholesterol. So those are LDLs. Those are low-density lipoproteins. That is what we call the bad cholesterol. It's what we think is associated with heart disease when we're talking about cholesterol. So there are actually mixed reports out there that you will have worsening LDL cholesterol profile. So the bad cholesterol profile, it will get higher. There are reports out there that say they get better. We know that there is consistent reports of having improvement in your high-density lipoproteins, which are your good cholesterol. And then we know that there is improvement of your triglycerides, which are also really dangerous particles in your cholesterol profile. And we know that they actually improve on ketogenic diets. So before we go farther on this, I will tell you in my personal practice, my medical practice, I actually watched a patient of mine who... She was pre-diabetic and she had abnormal cholesterol. She also had abnormal liver enzymes. And she got very concerned when she got the diagnosis of pre-diabetes and really, really wanted to make some changes. She was pretty motivated. So she actually studied nutritional ketosis and the ketogenic diet on her own, and she started implementing that. That was not something that I was forcing her or pushing her into doing. I guided her as much as I could, but she definitely jumped in both feet to a ketogenic diet. She lost about 50 pounds over about 9 months on a ketogenic diet. In that 9-month period of weight loss, I saw her LDLs skyrocket. they got so elevated and they were making me very, very nervous. I was wringing my hands the whole time. The medication that we use to treat high cholesterol is very hard on her liver, on your liver, on a liver. They can be very hard on a liver. And unfortunately, she was already having changes with her liver enzymes being going in the wrong direction. So I couldn't really start her on that medication to treat her bad cholesterol. So I would try and then her liver enzymes would get worse and then we'd have to pull her off of it and I'd have to just wring my hands and watch her cholesterol numbers really go off the charts. After her weight loss plateaued and stabilized out, she lost all the weight she wanted and it stabilized out, I saw all of her cholesterol numbers totally normalize. Not only her cholesterol numbers normalized, but also her liver enzymes completely normalized. They went from being 3, 4, 5 times normal, those liver enzymes, to being completely within the normal range. So all of those things normalized out. Now, I understand she was just one patient that I saw do this. But it does make me wonder if these mixed reports of having worsening low-density lipoproteins, those bad cholesterols worsening, is not so much that we're really seeing an actual worsening of those numbers, but we haven't seen the weight loss stabilize out, and we just haven't seen those numbers stabilize out yet. But that's the information. That's what the evidence shows about cholesterol. So when we think about why the cholesterol might be worse, we have to kind of question what is that about? Is it because we're no longer eating as many flour-based foods like flour and, or like pasta and breads and those kinds of things, and instead we're eating a lot more animal-based foods like meats or cheeses or milk or butter or bacon? That's totally possibly the case. Another theory is that you're mobilizing all of this fat in your system, all of the stored fat that you have in your system, you're mobilizing that and utilizing it for energy. And so naturally, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibilities to see that lipoprotein, that cholesterol component of your body, start to jump up higher because we're liberating all of that fat into our system. So I'm not really sure why the cholesterol doesn't always improve immediately. And I also want to point out that there are mixed reports of this. But certainly, bad cholesterol is not the cause of type 2 diabetes. So if you're looking to normalize your type 2 diabetes, certainly having this one questionable caveat should not discourage you or dissuade you from doing that. And then lastly, a lot of times people come to me and they say, well, high-fat diets cause obesity. Why would I go on a high-fat diet? I don't want to get any heavier. I want to normalize my blood sugars and I want to lose weight. I think part of the reason that we think this is because the increase in caloric density of high-fat foods or fattening foods, you know, a calorie of fat or a gram of fat, I should say, has more calories in it than a gram of carbohydrates. So I think that maybe that's the thought about why we would get obese with high fats, or maybe it's because obesity is quote unquote, I am fat, and high fats seem to like go together with that. But either way, the studies have not supported this. And the studies have not supported that being on a high-fat diet causes any increase in obesity. In fact, highly processed sugars are typically the cause of weight gain. And they're frequently low in fat, right? So what do I mean by that? I mean Twizzlers are a super high carbohydrate food, right? They're basically straight sugar. They are quote-unquote low fat. If you look on their wrapper, they advertise the health benefit of the Twizzler as being a low-fat food. And obviously, they're not a healthy food. Obviously, that's not something that's going to allow you to be healthier in life and certainly not allow you to not be a diabetic. So the idea that high-fat diets cause obesity has not been supported in literature. Most of the time, obesity is more related to these highly processed, refined, simple carbohydrates. So recognize that there's no correlation between those two things. So I want to talk briefly about the long-term benefits of nutritional ketosis. What the studies show these nutritional ketosis, these ketogenic diets improve. So, of course, there's improvement in your hemoglobin A1C, which is your diabetes number. It's what measures your diabetes. It's the number that doctors look at. And it improves your fasting blood sugars. It improves your insulin sensitivity. And all of that is part of reversing type 2 diabetes. Nutritional ketosis or ketogenic diets have also been associated with decreased diabetes medication use. It's been associated with weight loss. It's been associated with improved triglycerides and high-density lipoproteins, or the good cholesterol in our system. It's been associated with decreasing the need for cholesterol-lowering medications. Nutritional ketosis has been associated with improved liver function studies. ketogenic diets have been associated with improved thyroid functions. It's been associated with improved blood pressure readings. It's been associated with improved inflammatory markers in your system. It's been associated with improved neurocognitive functions. And lastly, it's been associated in improved moods. We know that there's kind of this euphoric side effect of being in ketosis, but we've also seen this applied to patients with bipolar disease, and the nutritional ketosis actually acted as a mood stabilizer for these patients. So there's tons of benefits that go along with nutritional ketosis, especially when you look at them in comparison with the possible negative outcomes. There's really only one possible negative outcome associated with nutritional ketosis, and it's not consistently reported in the studies. So do you have to be in ketosis forever? That's the other question clients come to me with. Do I have to do this for the rest of my life? And I always tell my clients that really depends. You're going to have to try it and see. So some of my clients do have to be very strict with it and be in it forever. Some of my clients have more leeway on how many carbohydrates they eat and they can stay in ketosis. And then many of my clients just opt to come out of nutritional ketosis occasionally. So when do I see this? I see it at Christmas. I see it at birthdays. I see it on vacations or going to Europe and they want to try all the fancy cuisine they're going to come into contact with. They make a conscious decision to come out of ketosis during that time period and then go back into ketosis when they come home. So no, you don't necessarily have to be in nutritional ketosis forever. The other thing I see, frequently will see with my clients is they use nutritional ketosis to reverse their type 2 diabetes quickly. And then they just start to do the other things, right? There are three tools: eating normal foods, foods that a human body, so cleaning up your diet, foods that the human body is meant to eat, using intermittent fasting, and then using nutritional ketosis. Well, sometimes my clients will just clean, you know, they use nutritional ketosis, they reverse their type 2 diabetes, and then they eat 3 meals a day, but they eat foods that are normal for a human body. Sometimes that's more fruit than they were eating when they were in nutritional ketosis. Sometimes it's more whole grains like quinoa or a natural rice, a black rice, a long grain rice, whatever that might look like for them. Sometimes it's eating more of those foods than they were originally eating while they were in nutritional ketosis. They don't continue to be in ketosis, but they don't go back to being diabetic either. Sometimes they utilize intermittent fasting so that they can have different foods that they wouldn't have been able to have during nutritional ketosis. Again, typically that's fruit and that's grains, those kinds of foods, so that they can enjoy those but not have to go back to being diabetic and still not being in nutritional ketosis, right? So some people will use that nutritional ketosis to rapidly reverse their type 2 diabetes and then use some other combination of tools to help keep their blood sugars normal, yet not always have to be in nutritional ketosis. So do you have to be in nutritional ketosis forever? No, not necessarily. It really depends on what your goals are, how you want to get there, and how your body responds. So obviously this can be complicated. This is a lot of different nutritional nuances that you have to have some specialized either interest, either you're very interested and you're looking for the information for it, or you've done some additional studying to get that information. This is where coaching is so helpful. If this sounds like something you're interested in, if you're interested in working with me to reverse your type 2 diabetes, please send me a message to Delaine@DelaineMD.com. We'll get you started living that naturally healthy life, getting you off your medications, reversing your diabetes, all of those great things. So that's what I have for you today. If you have any questions, certainly email me with them. I hope you found this helpful. I hope you're staying safe. And I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. Also, leave me a review. If you want to resolve your diabetes naturally without any pills or injections, I can help you. Visit DelaineMD.com for more information. Click on the Work With Me tab, send me a message, and we can set up a mini coaching session. You guys have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.